In our next case, 2022-0628, in the matter of the Board of Commissioners of Mill Creek Metropolitan Park District versus Less. On behalf of the appellant, Ms. Fardman. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Chief Justice. May it please the court. When abandoned railway corridors are converted, let me back up. Elizabeth Fardman on behalf of the Board of Commissioners of Mill Creek Metro Parks, Metropolitan Park District. Start over. So when abandoned railway corridors are converted to multi-use recreational trails, they connect the past, the present, and the future. Former industrial passageways that once suffered from environmental degradation.
Before we get there, do we have a final order in this case? It sure doesn't look like it.
That's exactly correct. I believe that we need to go back. The necessity hearing did not occur, and that is a mandatory necessity hearing that's triggered by the answer that was filed by the landowner to the petition in this case. And rather than hold the required necessity hearing, we went to dispositive motions. And as the case of Weir dictates, which is quite similar procedurally, regardless of the outcome of whether the court found for us on summary judgment or for the landowner on summary judgment, that's the incorrect manner in which to determine if necessity and right.
But in this case,
summary judgment,
yes.
Right? It didn't decide one way or the other, right?
It actually cited for the park district. It decided that the necessity was proven.
Well, if it's a summary judgment which is denied,
correct.
How is it a final appealable order?
Well, that's exactly the case. It is not. It needs to go back. The case was dismissed by.
But not just to necessity hearing, but to the same status it was when it was denied, right? The case was just pending, right?
Well, the case was pending. You're right. We were going to proceed on to the valuation stage, the damage hearing, because there's two parts of eminent domain. One is to test the merits of the petition and whether or not the right of the condemning authority is established and the necessity of that particular appropriation. And that is only triggered. That's a rebuttable presumption on behalf of the governing body that it has met those criteria of use that is necessity and that you have the right. In this situation, it was specifically denied in the answer, and so therefore the statute states that the court should set a hearing within 15 days of that answer. It doesn't typically happen so quickly. I think that's a wish of 15 days, but it happens thereafter. And that was not done in our case. And so our position is that the Court of Appeals incorrectly dismissed the petition because no evidence was put into the record with regards to the necessity hearing that, again, was mandated by 163.08 and 163.09. And in this situation, if you go to 163.01H2, I believe, public parks are presumed to be a public use. But again, those are some of the facts that we could put into evidence and build a record upon which then the court could determine the sufficiency of the petition. And so in this situation, the appellate court deemed the bikeway to be unnecessary for and harmful to rural interests. Again, that was not put into the record, but that was something that was inserted by the appellate court. And all of those facts can be tested in the mandatory hearing, which we are requesting that this court review the statute with 163, apply it to what the appellate court did, and come to the only decision that that can be determined in this situation is that it needs to be taken back to the trial court, because there's no evidence was taken. And then the 16308 mandatory necessity hearing should occur. And in that situation, the burden will then be on the governing body, in this situation, Mill Creek Metro Parks, to put evidence into the record of the necessity and its right to condemn this property. And we believe as well that even if you go to the merits of 1545-11, that the park districts do have the authority to undertake this type of eminent domain in order to build and or, in this situation, to extend a bike trail slash multi-use trail that will be used by folks that have accessibility issues, kids that are learning how to drive a bike. It was conducive. The Board of Commissioners, when they originally looked at this project, they found that it was conducive to the general welfare of the citizenry. And those types of purposes have been upheld by this court in McNabb, Snyder, and in the Houck file, in the Houck cases.
Does the statute in this case call for even a review of the sufficiency of the resolution?
It does not, Your Honor. There is nothing in either 1545 or Chapter 163 that talks about the contents of the resolution. There's nothing in 1545 that states that conservation needs to be set forth. In fact, if you take a look at 1545.09, it talks about the purpose of a park district. And it's inherent that a park district conserves natural resources. And in fact, 1545.09 states that the preservation of the good order within and adjacent to the parks and the reservation of land, that preservation is the purpose of a park district. Preservation, conservation, it is inherent in everything that a park district does. And it brings me back to how the Mill Creek Metro Parks was founded. And it was founded in order to provide solace from a rapidly industrializing city, in order to give people recreation, because recreation can build health and build the community spirit that a park district attempts to accomplish every time that it undertakes a project. But in this situation, nothing in 163 or and nothing in 1545 and or in any case law states what a resolution should look like or contain particular verbiage. It does not say that conservation needs to be set forth when the resolution is passed.
Thank you.
I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal. And thank you
thank
very
you.
Much.
Good morning, Mr. James.
Morning, Justice Kennedy, Chief Justice, honorable members of the court, counsel. Eminent domain's been with our country and our state from the beginning.
Let's start a little earlier. Is there a final appealable order?
Under 160309-3, in this case, because the Pelley landowner objected and under verified answer, had two motions to dismiss for judgment on the pleadings, two motions for summary judgment on authority, necessity, and improper process of notice, docketed as a hearing and overruled specifically four times.
They were denied. Right. So we have a denial of a bunch of motions.
Under 163309-3, the landowner in that case has an immediate right to appeal, and that's what happened. This is different than a normal summary judgment, specifically where a landowner is denied any objections, and in this case it was authority, improper notice, they omitted.
But the denial of summary judgment just means there's a material fact in dispute. It doesn't mean that that's proven, right?
The denial was...
Denial of summary judgment just means there is a genuine issue of material fact for a hearing.
In this case, it's different because it's a landowner.
How can it be different?
Because it's a landowner. You're talking authority, you're talking process, and you're talking necessity.
Right, but denial of summary judgment motion simply says there's a dispute of fact as to those things. It doesn't resolve that issue.
Well, I, with all due respect, I disagree under 163.
Well, you may disagree under 163, but Civil Rule 56 is pretty clear about what a summary judgment motion means.
In 163.093 is distinguished from the normal summary judgment process. It provides the landowner with an immediate right to appeal. And it wasn't just necessity and process, it's also authority. Appellant talked about necessity, and what does a resolution have to say? Well, the resolution has to comply with the statute that permits the taking, or there's nothing. There can be no issue of necessity if there's no authority to take under the statute, because as this court knows as recently as Mound Builders, statutes for the taking of private property are strictly construed in the benefit of the landowner. And in this case, motions were filed twice in two courts. They were both overruled summarily. And under subsection 3...
So doesn't that just mean you go to a hearing, the motions are overruled?
No, you go to the Court of Appeals, who rules on whether there is, in fact, authority.
Well, that's not what the statute says, though. The statute says there's a hearing.
There were two hearings. There were two hearings in two courts. There were four hearings, if you read the docket, and the motions were overruled. What do we do going to this twilight zone loop where we go back down to the Court of Common Pleas? The Court of Common Pleas again rules against the appellee landowner. We appeal up to the Court of Appeals, and then here we are again in 2 years. What is a landowner supposed to do other than a verified objection in the answer, motion to dismiss for judgment on the pleadings because there's no authority on its face, and then summary judgment?
I understand what you're saying to some degree. You had two judgments in the lower court. One basically gave no reasons why summary judgment, which was your client's summary judgment, was denied. The second actually made findings, almost findings of fact, which isn't the purpose of summary judgment.
Well,
so is that the leverage that you say when you take the language in 163 that if you've denied these things in your answer and you've moved for summary judgment and the court finds in the other side's favor based on things you denied in your answer, that's what your springboard is to get to an immediate appeal? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And in this case, there were two courts. The one court summarily dismissed both motions, and the other court relied on polls, which remanded the case because the taking agency was organized before 1920, and that was the issue of the court. There was some dicta on bike paths, but there have been no judgments stating that Section 15, 4511, which states a park may acquire property to create forest reservations and to conservation of the natural resources, and to those ends may create a park, parkways, forest reserves. It's a double limiting statute. It's limiting by to those ends, and it's limiting by conservation. Conservation is not stated in their two resolutions of 1993 and 2008. They specifically state a bikeway. They don't even pretend to say it's for the conservation of the natural resources.
But your opposing counsel said in response to my question about is it required that it be in the resolution, the answer was no. And my research indicates that there are other statutes that specifically require it, but this one doesn't. So how do you reconcile those two?
Well, the resolution speaks for the purpose of the taking. And if the purpose of the taking is not authorized by a law, 16301 says a public authority simply can't take.
Well, what is the definition of a parkway?
There is no definition in the statute, but a parkway is used throughout the Ohio Revised Code as a boulevard to go through parkway with motor vehicles or to connect parks.
It also indicates that it's landscaped, that it's basically...
Landscape architecture actually distinguishes between parkways and highways and recreational trails and bikeways, and apposition treats them differently. And in this case, you don't even get to a parkway if you're not having a purpose that conserves the natural resources. You don't get to those other ends, which is a park or a parkway. We're not objecting to the creation of the park, which Snyder and McNabb were both about fundamentally. The resolutions were for creating a park that conserves the natural resources. In this case, the complaint and the two supporting resolutions don't even state those purposes. They even say the purposes are for transportation and recreation purposes. So how do you construct a statute strictly if you don't even have the purposes by the authorizing statute in your resolution and your complaint?
But McNabb is longstanding and 1923, and McNabb talks about providing for the conservation of the natural resources of the state is so broad and comprehensive that any natural tract of land bearing a reasonable relation to these words is clearly comprehended within these terms. How do you distinguish that?
Well, first of all, it was for the creation of a park. It wasn't for a bikeway. And second of all...
It includes parkways. It speaks of parkways.
It speaks of parkways within a park. Within a park. You can't have a parkway outside a park or a manifest destiny bikeway. A bikeway is not a parkway. It's a right of way. It's not even fee. The landowner continues to pay taxes and insurance on the underlying land to have people go through and have a look.
Does it matter that these rails to trails are 60 feet wide, landscaped, and then a pathway put in for bikers and walkers? That's not a parkway?
No, that's just taking more land than you need is what's happening. It's another example of bad faith. What this is not even a railroad abandoned. These railroads were abandoned 40 years ago and sold to the landowners or reverted to the landowners by deed. Mill Creek Metro Parks was one of the buyers of the lands in the earlier phases. This is private property. And private property cannot be taken if there's not a purpose under statute. And if the statute doesn't include the purpose of the taking, it must be narrowly construed to the benefit of the landowner. That's fundamental. And if the resolutions and the complaint, which are evidence of the taking, don't include the statutory purpose, there's no authority, the game is over. And that's what the Court of Appeals said. We don't need to get to necessity hearing.
What was the basis for their decision on that? It wasn't in the statute, was it?
Their basis for the decision was a bikeway is not for the conservation of the natural resources.
So the Court of Appeals also sort of talked about this collision or difference between urban and rural. This is at the heart of it as well, isn't it?
Well, if getting into the necessity side, which our position is there's no authority, so you don't get to necessity. If you're in the necessity side, what the court is saying, a rural area is different than an urban one. So a bikeway going through a remote farm has a completely different context than connecting between Wade Park and another park in Cleveland, right? And you have security issues. You have injury issues. one park policeman is going to cover 12 roads in a remote, dense, forested area? These are legitimate concerns, and why taking statutes have to be narrowly construed. This is an unelected body. Everybody loves Mill Creek Park in Youngstown, in Mahoney County. You would be hard-pressed to find a person that's not in favor of the park. But still, the Board of Commissioners of the Park District are held accountable to limitations on how they can take land. That's why the notice of appeal on the notice to take should be to an elected official, the probate judge. They let that out. And now here we are dramatically saying there should be a necessity hearing when they rolled over the farmers when it came to complying with the other provisions of 163. The fact of the matter is there were four hearings docketed in this case that addressed the issue of authority as well as necessity and as well as poor process. And they ruled against the landowner, which gave the landowner under 163.093 the right of immediate appeal, which the Court of Appeals accepted.
If the trial judge, either or both, had simply said yay or nay on a motion for summary judgment, saying that essentially there are facts that are not clear, you wouldn't really have been in a position to have taken an immediate appeal, would you have?
Well, under 163.093, they rule against us, the landowner. We have a right to appeal. It's different than the normal summary judgment motion. That is fundamental. If you're going to put traditional summary judgment motions, and that was addressed by the Court of Appeals in the original hearing to see whether they would take the case, they took the case because of that statute, and it was mentioned by the 7th District as well under 163.093. When the landowner is ruled against, we can appeal. And that's different than normal summary judgment. Now, again, I want to focus to the answer to your question is on whether it's summary judgment or motion for judgment on the pleadings. If you have no authority to take under the statute fundamentally, what's to be discussed at a necessity hearing? If a matter of law, there's no authority to take, what's to be decided at a necessity hearing?
Except your client didn't win that.
No, that's what gave her the right of appeal. And that's when the Court of Appeals said creating a bikeway or recreational trail is not in the statute. It's not for the conservation of the natural resources. Bikeways are not mentioned. The same day that 1545.11 was promulgated, 1519.01 and 02 was promulgated, where the court, or where the General Assembly created a statewide system for bikeways through the Ohio Department of Natural Resources. Bikeways are specifically mentioned. And there's a uniform system. There's a common requirement of how it's taken, where it's taken. They chose not to do that. 55.
Except in Mahoney County, it's a combination of urban and rural, same as in Trumbull County. And there are a lot of cities, a lot of towns, a lot of villages. And so is this a case of first impression when it comes to ODNR? I mean, Mill Creek Park
ODNR
or whatever park.
ODNR authorizes bikeways. 1545.11 only permits taking to conserve the natural resources. If it's recreation that we're talking about here, what's next? Parades?
So weren't the earlier phases of the bike path, some of them done by appropriation?
None. They were individually bargained. Much of it was Mill Creek went out and bought from the Conrail bankruptcy the city right-of-ways because they were in the city. But the farmers, they bought theirs and protected their land, or it reverted to them when it ceased to be used for railroad purposes. There was a mix. Another statute the same day, 553044, enabled counties, when they vacate roads, to convert those roads to bikeways and recreational trails. The same day, they specifically mentioned bikeways, recreational trails, 55-5304 for counties. The same day they created the Ohio Department of Natural Resources statute for bikeways and recreational trails, but they didn't change 1545-11. Yeah, let's bring bikeways down there too for parkways. Expressio unius alternius, my Catholic school days are, the expression of one is the exclusion of other. I never did learn my Latin. And that is what we have here, is that on this day, they said bikeways are okay for ODNR, statewide system. Yeah, we can do recreational trails for county governments vacating lands. We didn't touch conserve the natural resources. So where do we go?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Fartman.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Ms. Fartman, I have a question for you from the get-go. So picking up on the ODNR statute that's fairly recent, if your colleague, your opposing colleague's argument is correct that now bikeways are covered by ODNR, what happens to the existing bikeways that are already parts of park districts?
Well, I think you're absolutely correct. What would happen? Would they just go over and become the domain of the ODNR? Would they become state property? No.
It's not addressed in the statute, is it?
No, it is not. So that's why there are many different frameworks for accomplishing projects, such as in this situation, the Greenway, the Great Lakes to River Parkway / recreational trail. And my opponent had mentioned that there were hearings. There were no hearings in this case. That's why we're talking about lots of facts, but guess where those facts aren't? In the record. All we have is dispositive motions, a little bit of depositions, but we have no hearing.
He says there's no need for a hearing.
There is a need. And Weir is very clear about that. The Weir case is very similar. That also disposed of a case, of a takings case, on summary judgment. And on appeal, this court said, no, you need to have a hearing, regardless of. And in that situation, the trial court found against the government, the governing authority that was trying to undertake eminent domain.
What would you demonstrate at a hearing?
The purpose, all of the studies that went into this, and on all of this is all germane with how 1545-11 has been interpreted in the past. 1545-11 defines the power of the board to acquire property, and this particular court has long held that the power of 1545 and park districts to acquire for conservation of natural resources is broad. And recreational trails conserve natural resources, and that's under Snyder and both McNabb. And more recently, very recently, Mound Builders and also the case of I can't find it exactly, but Mound Builders is the most important. It's talking about 16301, and a public park is presumed to be a public purpose. So we put that into evidence, and we would talk about the path. And again, necessity, when we talk about necessity, in the Sunoco Pipeline versus Teeter case, and that's a 2016 case, necessity is not limited to the physical necessity. And just because a path or a parkway or anything that a governing body is trying to condemn, just because another location is available, that's not a valid objection to the necessity. And again, necessity means it's reasonably convenient or useful to the public. And so we anticipate that we would put that type of evidence into the record so that again, the judge can make a determination with regards to the necessity and whether or not we met our burden. And again,
What's your response to your opponent's expressio unius est ulterioris exclusio argument? That on the same day the legislature wrote about bike paths, but not in this statute.
Well, I don't think that one thing. I would respectfully disagree with that provision. I don't believe that the two are married. I don't believe that there's a superstructure that is going to oversee the greenway or all the other hundreds and hundreds or thousands of miles of parkways in this state. I think that there might be overarching plans on how they all connect, but I believe that all of the individual park districts, they attend to them, they landscape them, they have police force that governs them. And again, with regards to the rural slash urban divide, that was something specifically discussed by the appellate court, and we would say in error, because again, that those facts were not in evidence, and we don't believe that there is any disparity between the two, is that folks that live in urban area or slash rural deserve safe and well-graded and well-maintained paths to walk. Lots of folks can't walk. They use walkers or they use wheelchairs or other modes of transportation. This takes them, along with children that are learning how to drive, to ride a bike, takes them off roads and off of state routes so they are safe. And that's what the continuation of this particular path, this went in three phases, and this is the last, and this will connect to our neighboring county to the south, which is Columbiana. But again, those facts are not in evidence. They're just in our pleadings, but they have not been tested by the court. And we think that WEIR is particularly something that should be utilized as a as the case that controls in this particular situation, because the hearing is mandatory. And then the court will decide one way or the other.
The statements made by your opposing counsel about you won't be able to have one police officer for a park district to patrol this 10 miles of land, and it's not going to be safe because it's going through the country, which is that any of that in the record?
No, it is not.
Okay.
It is not. And again, it would give us an opportunity to discuss how vibrant and how successful our police force is, and how they also work in tandem with neighboring jurisdictions. But again, not in the record, Justice Bruner.
So the decision by the judge with these nine different conclusions, including that Ms. Less failed to prove that the park district abused its discretion, is that appropriate for a summary judgment?
No, it is not. And I believe that WEIR, again, will guide you in that determination, is that summary judgment, regardless on which way it falls, on the governing authority or on the landowner, that's not a way to test the purpose and or the authority or the necessity of the appropriation.
So there's no special summary judgment for kinds of proceedings?
No, in fact, it's the opposite. You have to have your hearing. So this was, from the get-go, this was wrong. A necessity hearing should have taken place shortly after the answer was filed by Ms. Less's counsel. And that was not done here. And that's why we're hearing a lot of facts, but you're not going to see them in the record because there is no record. So we believe that it should be remanded back so so the trier of fact can determine whether or not the Board of Commissioners has met their burden.
In terms of remanding, are you saying reverse on the merits or find that this is not a final appealable order?
Well, we would say that the decision with regards to 1545-11 not giving the park district the authority, and because of the lack of the word conservation, we would ask that be that's error, and we also ask that the 16309 hearing be held. There's two cases And one decision, you're right, determined that the park had met its burden for necessity. And again, we believe that that determination needs to be tested in a hearing. So I think that so we're asking for that to go back and test the merits of the petition.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Take the matter under advisement and receive the decision from the court.